why most of us do everything we can to avoid or overcome or conceal our weaknesses. Our weaknesses make us feel vulnerable. Perhaps more importantly, our weaknesses frighten us. After all, if we're weak and we're vulnerable, somebody might take advantage of us. If we're weak and vulnerable, we can be hurt. And as a result, we adopt all kinds of strategies to protect ourselves from our weaknesses and the vulnerabilities we feel when we come in contact with our weaknesses. We try to control our lives. We hide our true thoughts and our feelings for fear that someone may betray us. We do anything and everything possible to avoid or overcome being weak or vulnerable in any way, shape, or form. From our perspective, in the natural realm, when I am weak, then I am strong makes no sense. And because that doesn't logically make sense, we wear the mask. And so when we meet and greet people, we oftentimes are wearing a mask, so that people will see the image of us that we want them to see. Because why would I want anybody to know that I cry myself to sleep sometimes? Why should anyone know that my chains get strange sometimes? Why should anyone know that I have worries and concerns? Why should anyone know that we have family situations and issues that people, issues for tissues, as I like to say from time to time, that why do we want anyone else to know that? And so oftentimes we wear this mask to the world. Unfortunately, we oftentimes also wear a mask to ourselves. And we look at the story of the life that we have in a negative kind of way. When we start thinking about the challenges that we have, when we think about our weaknesses, when we think about our vulnerabilities, we try to hide that. We try to hide it from ourselves, because if we don't hide it from ourselves, then we might find ourselves feeling down. Anybody acknowledge that you feel down sometimes? It's an amazing thing that if you have a down day, if you're a chipper person, like some people would say that I am most of the time, you know, you see me, I'm going to be like, hey, how's everything going? What's going on? Yeah, praise the Lord. How, you know, I'm going to have some exuberance oftentimes about my experience and interaction with people. So if you see me one day and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Your normal next question is going to be, what's wrong? And so if I wanted you to know what was wrong, I might would say, let me tell you what's wrong. So it becomes very difficult to own the fact that some days you just can't fake it till you make it. Some days the mask, you forget your mask. And you wish you had it, but you forget it. And so now people get to see you. All right. And that you is vulnerable. I remember being taught early on, son, never let them see you sweat. No matter what is going on, you can cry in the house. You can cry at home. But when you go out into that world, you let them see the strong man that you want to present to the rest of the world. That's how you are to act. I don't know if anybody else has been taught to behave that way, but that really is being taught how to wear a mask so that no one will think you vulnerable. And I understand that there are some very treacherous people in this world. And the moment they see or sense a weakness in somebody, they will actually go after you. So I am not saying it is not some good advice, or at least logical advice, to tell someone, don't let them see you sweat. Am I making any sense? Anybody here? I mean, most people, you can be hurting, but when you see me, more than likely, you're going to say, hey, Pastor Cooper, I'm great. You're not going to say, Pastor Cooper, let me tell you, I got doubt about my gout. I got other things that are going on, and do you really want to know my situation, or do you want what most people seem to want? Because people are not comfortable with you telling your story either. They're not always comfortable when your mask comes off, because the mask that you were wearing used to tell them everything that their itching ears wanted to hear. But when the mask comes off, you might be a little more truthful. No, baby, that don't do nothing for you. You don't never need to wear that in public. You going out in public with that? I don't think you need to do that. The truth might start filtering through because the mask is off. What am I driving at? I am driving today at this. In order for us to experience the fullness of God, it is essential that we own our story. When I say owning our story, I am saying we must reconcile ourselves to the reality of our strengths and our weaknesses. I am saying that owning your story is beginning to be comfortable in the skin in which you are in. Owning your story does not cut out little bits and pieces for anything or anybody, but it says, I am willing to acknowledge who I am as I am. I'm willing to acknowledge, and I say that in this month, which has there are a lot of things, but the two prominent things that this month of October represents is Domestic Abuse Awareness Month and Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So this is a month in which we look in our society to acknowledge that there are some situations that we have experienced that might not be the most pleasant. And so, in order for me to be true to a sense of that, it is important to say, own your story. If you have been a victim of domestic abuse, whatever abuse has happened to you in your life, it is important to acknowledge that, because someone needs to know your story, no matter how gory that story might be, because they too are a traveler on the way to the promised land, and they need to know that it is possible to get through the wilderness. Your story may very well be the catalyst for them getting through the wilderness of what they are experiencing. Your story may give a woman or a man who is in a domestic abuse situation the courage to be able to leave if necessary and get the help that they need. It is important. Last month was Mental Health Awareness Month. So in order, I didn't think I mentioned that as much last month, but I assure you, please get the mental health that you need. If you find yourself over the last 2 weeks and you have been depressed or felt sad for 6 or 7 days in the last 2 weeks, you might need to talk to somebody. Come talk to me. And we will identify and we will do any test assessments as necessary to determine the level of depression that you might be experiencing. Depression is not just for young people. There are seniors who live their lives very depressed because it's like, I can't do what I used to do. I can't run like I used to run. I don't remember like I used to remember. And at some points in time, that can get a little depressing. Am I anybody willing to acknowledge that? All right. So as we begin to own own our story. Because there are people who, if they only see the mask, they won't know. They say, well, that person always has it going on. That person never went through anything. That person is a superstar. And therefore, because they are a superstar, they can't connect with me. But in the book of Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, it says that we have in Jesus a Savior who knows, because he himself was tested and tried. He is able to go with us when we are tested and tried. So when we talk about having a Savior in Jesus, we're not talking about somebody who didn't go through anything. We're not talking about somebody who had it easy and grew up with a spoon, silver spoon in their mouth. That might have been Paul, the writer of our text, who early on in his life grew up with a spoon, silver spoon in his mouth, who grew up in the house and trained in the best schools. That was Paul, not Jesus. Jesus' parents did not have the money to buy him, to give the sacrifice of anyone with stature, so they had to kill a couple of doves, the little birds. That's what they did for him. Or so the text says. So Jesus did not grow up privileged. He took off divinity, put on humanity, and the humanity that he put on did not put him in the White House, but put him being born in a manger. So when you talk about where you've been and what you have been through, you got a friend in Jesus who said, yeah, been there, done that. You say you broke? Oh, my goodness, I've been broke. In fact, when it came to paying my taxes, I had to go fishing and pull some coins out of the fish's mouth to be able to render unto Caesar what was Caesar's. It's in the book. I'm not making this up. You say you've been lied on? Well, I know about being lied on. You say you've been homeless? Well, you know what? I know a little bit about that. The birds have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You say you're tired of depending on other folk? I've been depending on folk who let me down. You say people have betrayed you. Let me tell you about my friend Judas. My friend Judas, I mean, we ate together. We went on adventures together. We walked together the countryside. And then all of a sudden, my boy, I thought he was my boy. He comes up and gives me a kiss, and the next thing I know, I'm in shackles. All right. So when we understand that the story that Jesus tells, which exposes not his strengths exclusively, but his weaknesses, exposes his vulnerability, it exposes that every day he walked out, there was somebody trying to trick him, to trip him up. But instead of cowering down or getting in a hole and not going out, he goes out every day and does what he does as an example for us of how we are intended to engage this life. Engage this life by owning your story. The very path to discovering new strength is through embracing and facing our weakness. You cannot erase what you will not face. Whether it is your own pain, the mental energy, something happened unfortunate to you as a little child, someone gave you unwanted attention, maybe you were in the Harvey Weinstein catch-up, I don't like using Bill Cosby as an example, because he's still Cliff Huxtable in my mind. But the reality of the situation is there are a number of people who have accused him of doing some very bad things. In the society in which we are living, it is said that 6 out of every 10, if not 7 out of every 10 women, have been the recipient of unwanted attention. And at some point have begun to internalize that, because they have been objectified by a man with intentions for that man to have his way or whatever way he might have wanted to have with her. And that breaks a person down after a period of time. But you cannot erase the pain if you won't face it. If all you do is say that happened and I let it go, but you really didn't let it go because you haven't had a successful relationship since then. Because every time you get close, you start to back away because you feel that this is imminent, it's going to happen again. Gotta face it. Own your story. Now the power is this. These men of power had been doing these things for years, tens of years, and getting away with it, some kind of way. But when someone found the courage and the confidence to own their story, yes, it happened. Then all of a sudden, somebody else comes and says, "You too, girl?" And then you begin to get a hashtag that's going over social media now called hashtag Me Too. And honestly, when I look at the Me Toos out there, it starts to break my heart. Because some of the Me Toos are people whom I have known but did not know that. Did not know, and know that by nature I'm a warrior, and know that I would want to fight on behalf of those who have been understood to be weak or someone who has preyed on the weak. I want to fight for that. I mean, if you want to see me get going, give me a cause, because with a cause, I got a mouth. And I will speak in from time, the beginning to the end of time, about fighting for that which is right, fighting for that which is just. And it's not okay. I say this as an aside. No means no. And only yes means yes, no matter how she might be dressed. Only yes means yes. I don't have too many young people here, but I might have some young people listening on the radio. Understand, only yes means yes. There is no amount of dress or undress that makes it okay to approach a woman. That having been said, own your story. If it happened, it happened. Begin to tell your story. By telling your story, you give someone else the confidence to tell their story. The only way we can truly experience the sustaining grace of God is to take the risk of being vulnerable in front of others. It is the only way we can experience new levels of personal strength that we may never have suspected that we have. You may say to yourself, you're not strong enough until you actually try it. And once you try it, you realize once you said it, you're still living. And once you realize you're living, you still get emboldened because you say, oh, the Lord has watched over me. The Lord has kept me. The Lord has given me strength. Look at God. In my weakness, God was strong. When I was too weak to talk about it, God remained strong. When I did gain enough strength or courage or confidence to speak on it, God, I recognized, was sustaining me when I wasn't speaking on it. In my weakness, God remained strong. And so Paul, so you understand, Paul experiences a situation in which he has to own his story. Now he has a story and he has had some magnificent things that have happened, have had some revelations, but this man is under assault. Assault by the super Christians. I mean, you know, you got believers. In his day, there were apostles and there were the super apostles. And the super apostles always were going after Paul because they understood Paul's past. They talked about Paul's past, how he persecuted Christians at some point in his life. They wanted to remind him and keep him shackled into who he was, who he had been, and did not want to free him and release him to be who he could be and who he had become. So they always went after Paul. So Paul at times would adjust his story to deal with them and just say, you know, I'm not going to boast. But if I was to boast, I could tell you about a man who 14 years had revelations that no man can speak of. Now, that man Paul was talking about and referencing was himself. But then he said, but I'm not going to talk about those things. In fact, what I will talk about is my weakness. And so he says, I had a thorn in my flesh. I had something going on within me that I did not like. It troubled me. It was horrible, if you want to lack of a better word. And I asked God three times, take this away from me. Now, Paul is a good man because he said he only asked three times. Some of us have been asking for 3 years. Some of us have been asking 20 years. I mean, we 30, we don't stop asking that same question. But what Paul got from God, God gives to us and is recorded for us today. My grace is sufficient for you. Yeah, yeah. My grace. What somebody did to you, you don't have to own their behavior. You simply own your response. And until you own your story, you can't write a new ending. Oh, that was good. Now, that's Brene Brown wrote that. I give her credit. She wrote that. Now, it just jumped up in my spirit. I said, oh, yes, I like that. What does it say? It says, until you own your story, you can't write a new ending. So then your story, until you own it, is what somebody else said. It was what they did, when they did it, how you felt when they did it, and you don't own it, so now you just keep reliving that same moment. You keep feeling that same pain, and you just, every time you see them, your jaws get tight and your stomach gets tight. You feel all some kind of way all over your body. It happens, but when you own your story, you can write a new ending. Right. That new ending says, oh, yes. The devil meant it for bad, but God has a way of turning a negative into a positive. Oh, yes, you thought that was going to break me, but I cried my last tear yesterday. I'm not crying over that stuff no more. In fact, I'm moving on. I'm rewriting the story. You say I got cancer? That may be so, but cancer don't have me. You say I got pain? Yes, I got pain, but pain does not have me, so I'm going to write a new ending to the story. I am going to tell the story about how my God is carrying me through to the other side, because there's a blessing on the other side of through. Yes, I may be falling, and sorrows may be falling like rain from the sky, but I am going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I'm rewriting the ending. You see, your ending might have me in the grave, but my ending is going to have me resurrected on 3 days. So, yes, it might have broke me, but it did not completely take me away. I'm saying you can rewrite the ending of the story, but you can't rewrite the ending of a story that you don't own. All right. You can't rewrite my book. You can't write that's what I did. So, but on your story, you can rewrite it. You can start speaking life on the back end of a story that was meant to kill you.
Us today in the heart of worship, we seek you as we pray. In the heart of worship is where I long to be, with joyful hallelujahs to God the one in three.
Welcome, Holy Spirit. Dwell with us today in the heart of worship. We seek you as we pray. In the heart of worship is where I
spirit and in truth. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alabama.